Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Friday brings Are You Kidding Me? Contributions from you, our fine listeners, on What's On Your Mind. What has you saying, Are You Kidding Me today? That's the test. Pick up the phone and tell us what's on your mind by calling us at 800-228-0550-701-258-0550. Studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. This hour brought to you by A Good Night's Sleep. Hey, Todd, how about this? I never do this, but I landed on QVC last night, and the My Pillow maestro was on. The CEO that we've had on before, the guy behind the whole My Pillow thing.
Yeah,
they were selling the pillows for more than we do right here. So better deals than you get right here on.
They got to pay for those TV cameras and that satellite time and all that somehow. So
when we tell you promo code Scott gets you a good deal or the special number, we mean it, folks. You're going to get a good, great night's sleep. The classic pillow, 2-for-1, 50% off right now when you call 800-506-9028 or go to MyPillow.com. They are selling these pillows like crazy because of the 10-year warranty, because they stay cool. There's no tossing and turning because that a patented interlocking fill adjusts to any sleep position. This pillow's so good, even the National Sleep Foundation, people who get up every day hoping you get a better night's sleep, said this is our official pillow because it's helping. 69 money-back guarantee, so there's really no risk here for you. Call them at 800-506-9028 or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Scott and tell them Scott sent you. Scott and Todd sent you for a better night's sleep to MyPillow.com. Whatever you're facing weather-wise out there, let us know. I know there are some slick conditions in some parts of our listening audience today, and I just saw now wind chill alert for later this weekend. So, you know, we get used to this kind of nice weather, and then whack, they have us. But hazardous weather outlook from the National Weather Service in Grand Forks for the Apache freezing drizzle that Todd mentioned earlier was plaguing a good chunk of western North Dakota earlier. Areas of fog reducing visibility. So if there's still problem areas out there, things you're finding that are slick, let us know, would you? Give us a ring at 800-228-0550-701-258-0550. Bottom of this hour, we're going to talk with that UND researcher about this crazy study that one in three males would rape if they could get by with it. Study we're not necessarily believing. She has a high bar of convincing us, but we're going to dig into the actual questions and how many people were asked and all those things because it's creating quite a stir. Anyway, coming up on the program. Gene and Valley City, you're first to go this hour. Then it's Allison and Tammy in Burke County and Mike in Logan County. Hey, Gene, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Scott. You're talking about the civics tests. Scott, your caller, let's see, about two callers ago talking about who had the slaves, north or the south. I think what his point was that what's the use? Now, we're not even teaching civics with Common Core yet. Where are we going to be at when that happens?
Yeah, when that infiltrates, right?
Okay, you know, maybe we should have civics tests for presidents. You know, remember, I've been in 57 states and I've got three to go. You know, remember that one?
I do. Gene, is the civics test a good idea? Should high school students in North Dakota, should they have to pass the same U.S. citizenship test that is given to new Americans?
Do you remember last fall when I recited to you the story about the 13-starred flag? And, you know, I put up the 13-starred flag, and the fella asked me, what's up with the 13 stars? Is, like, North Dakota the 13th star from the 13th state?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we should have civics tests before you get to vote. How about Eugene Grainer speaking to the legislatures the other day about Economics 101? And then I got another question. Okay, the Freeman out in Montana, back in the 90s, remember them?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Eugene Grainer was saying some of the very same things to the state legislature. You know, here's another question. How do we start new wealth?
I can't keep up with all your questions, Gene. Here, I'm running out of ink. So, what? Give me the last question now.
How do we start new wealth? Where is new wealth created from?
So, are you trying to say those are the kind of questions we ought to be probing our students about rather than?
Well, no, that
a civics
that
test
is or? Economics 101.
101.
Because,
yeah.
Scott, the only place you get new wealth, you either dig it up. Or you cut it up, or you
create it.
You
roll up your sleeves
and
make
it down, or you suck it out of the air, or you that's the only place. And I'll bet you $100 that's not taught in any economics classes.
Gene, appreciate the call. You're getting us thinking, as always. Allison on the road, you're next on What's on Your Mind.
Good morning. I enjoy your show. I don't think the civics test is necessary. Just because the students already have so much information to learn. Some of these topics come with maturity and some life experience. When they go on to college, they're going to have a lot more training on government, American government, and, you know, you don't pay attention to taxes necessarily until you start working or until you start voting. We need to give them the information they need and then give them a little time to be able to apply it.
So when we say they don't know this stuff, even though somebody that says, I want to be a citizen of the United States, they have to know it to be a citizen, what's the better fix then? If not adding the test to say, you need to know this, and getting at the attention, you know, from the educator to the students, what's a better way, Allison?
I think that some of it is they know it, and until they can apply it, they're not ready for the information, or they have the information, but it'll come to them. We don't need a test, teaching to a test and having them memorize it and thinking they're going to understand how the government operates.
Appreciate the call, Allison. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the comments. Glad you're out there. Call again, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Tammy in Burke County, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to make an extra comment on the Cosby superintendent. I feel he's going in the right direction because these county commissioners, when they pick these roads to redo with this tax money, why don't they contact the schools and get the bus drivers' ideas? A lot of these county roads are too small for buses to pass, you know, these big trucks on, and, you know, wear and tear on the buses is extreme. And funny he would bring it up because right now Burke County announced in their paper that they have two roads that they want to repair, but there's hardly any travel on. It's like a waste of money. I mean, you know, why don't they pick either the schools contact the county commissioners or the county commissioners should contact the schools and see what they would like to be done, you know, to help keep up the infrastructure on the roads is kind of my feeling. I think he's in the right direction. If they could work together, it would be great.
And the bus drivers ought to be a resource on what roads need the most attention because
Yeah, exactly. They're all every day, you know. So
in case somebody missed that, I was mentioning a conversation I had in Crosby with the superintendent of the school's there, and he was saying, you know, just one example of how the impacts are different in oil country than they are in other places, and that is that, you know, the buses are in, you know, constant need of repair because of the roads needing attention, and they get it's hard on the buses. So that was one example that, you know, somebody in Cass County is not dealing with.
Right. So, either way, you know, as long as they can work together, either the county commissioners contact the schools or the schools contact the county commissioners and give them a list of what they would like to see done and use that tax money there first rather than, you know, pick on some roads that aren't hardly ever traveled. I mean, they're probably not up to code, but I would feel that the tax money would go better to something, you know, that would be more useful for kids than schools, you know.
Thanks, Tammy. A lot of calls here, so I'm going to keep moving. Mike in Logan County, you're next on What's on Your Mind.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question, and that is, and kind of maybe a solution. You know, we've been kind of talking about this civics test that they've passed a law on. Why don't they pass a law, in our state, if you have filed for bankruptcy or you're a convicted felon, you cannot run for federal, state, or county offices, because if they can't manage their own personal affairs in a bankruptcy case, what makes you think they can manage the affairs of our state?
And obviously, those issues would be pretty prevalent in any campaign. Nobody's going to, although I guess, it's maybe some smaller offices. Somebody gets in where there isn't an opponent, and then it doesn't come up in the race. But you'd think, for the most part, that kind of stuff is going to be out there. But your point is, it'd be an automatic disqualifier.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if that was, they filed for bankruptcy or they're a convicted felon, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Another thing I was going to kind of bring up, and that is, I think we need to hold our college systems to the same degree a lot of our high schools are held at, and that is...
All right, Mike, I'm going to let you finish on the other side of the break. Mike and Tappan, Bob and Dickerson, Joe Bismarck, Gordy Fargo, as we continue on What's on Your Mind, all waiting to go.
We want to know what's on your mind, so call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
At BNSF Railway, we never forget what's kept our rail cars rolling through long, starry nights. For over a century, the American farmer. Pure and simple. Since 1854, BNSF has grown mile after mile, following the harvest from state to state, county to county, town to town. That's why we're the largest grain-hauling railroad in North America and dedicated to every farmer who plows a row. BNSF Railway, supporting the farmers who helped us grow from the very beginning.
It's that time of year, the season of falling temperatures, snow-covered peaks, and blanket of white. But with the vibrant colors and latest styles of great brands like the North Face, Patagonia, Burton, Spyder, and Obermeyer, winter fashion is a wonderland. And you'll find all this season's best looks waiting for you at Shields. So let it snow.
Shields, when it comes to gear and expert advice, we're right there with you in Bismarck, Minot, Grand Forks, Fargo, and Moorhead.
Now a word about agriculture from the North Dakota Farm Bureau. Did you know agriculture's direct contribution to North Dakota's economy every year is about $6 billion? Ag represents close to a quarter of our state's economic base, employs approximately 25% of the state's workforce. Agriculture is North Dakota's economic engine, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is agriculture's best advocate. Farm Bureau understands how a strong ag sector helps keep our state strong. But we're about more than agriculture. We're about those things that are important to all North Dakotans. A strong, growing, vibrant economy, good schools, safe communities, and keeping more of our hard-earned money in our own pockets. Farm Bureau members know the organization is not only working for them on important issues in Bismarck and Washington, D.C., but helping them save a few bucks on everything from new and used vehicles to prescription drugs. Find out more about the organization by going online to ndfb.org. That's the North Dakota Farm Bureau website, ndfb.org. Your state. Your future, your Farm Bureau. That's agriculture. And that's the North Dakota Farm Bureau.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today is January 5th, 2014, and gold opened at $1,197.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,242.08, $621.04 for a half ounce, or $310.52 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,242.08, $621.04, and $310.52.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
With What's on Your Mind, bottom of the hour, we're going to chat with the UND professor, author of this study that's been making national headlines, claiming that one in three men would rape if they could get by with it. Dr. Sarah Edwards, she'll be here after the next segment. Meantime, your comments, questions, welcome, and a lot of you waiting to weigh in here, so I'm going to go rapid fire through everybody, get to all of you. Mike in Logan County was just wrapping up your comment on a suggestion. Go ahead before the break. You were saying what, Mike?
Okay, something else that I think maybe our local government should take a look at, our state government, and that is, I think we should hold our athletes in our colleges to the same standard they hold our high school students, and that is, if a high school student is failing in any of their classes, they are not allowed to play sports for 2 weeks until they get their grades up. Situation, both my children graduated from a state college, and they had people in their general classes that were, as they would term them, sports jocks. They came to class, they didn't do the homework, they weren't passing their classes. Sports season was over, they were gone. And some of these guys, they are, some of these students, they came to our colleges either on a reduced tuition in a scholarship or free tuition just to play sports. And that is what's causing some of our students that are there trying to learn, we're paying a lot higher costs as in tuition. I think some of this stuff needs to be kind of knocked off. If
all right.
they're going to college for an education, that's important. If they're going for sports, hey, you know what? If you want to pay the tuition, fine, but why should we subsidize their tuition when they're not wanting to learn?
Well, I mean, I don't like to start to say they're not wanting to learn. I think they're there to learn, obviously, and gain that education based on their athletic talents being used by the school, which does help the school. So would disagree with you there, but appreciate your comments. Mike and Tappan, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm aware of a bill that was introduced by Representative Cook from Mandan. It's still in committee, but it's supposed to make local and township assessors get additional training in order to keep doing a job that they basically are volunteers for anyway. I don't know if he realizes that it would have a huge impact on the counties out in rural North Dakota. That's just what's on my mind, I guess.
And again, I was trying to say that really, you know, anytime somebody is putting themselves up for a position, they're fair game, right? They're an open book, and you're gonna have to weigh that decision. So, it isn't like that, you know, is something, you know, that would be hidden, right?
Well, I wanted to make your listeners aware that according to a lobbyist that I talked with, this would cost the local assessors about $5,000 a piece for us to do a job that we get paid very little for. And I'm talking, in my own case, it's $250 a year. So we're basically volunteers, and I sure ain't going to pay to do that. And then on the civics test.
And that, by the way, you said was a piece of legislation that is sponsored by Senator Cook. Is that what you said?
I believe so. It's in committee yet.
But, all right, we'll keep an eye out for that for you.
And then about that civics test, I think that once that is passed, and I think it will be and probably should be passed, but once it is, I think that all the legislature should have to take it too.
Not a bad idea. There you go. Appreciate the call, Mike. Thanks. Bob and Dickinson, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I was just my interest was in that one out of three men would rape a woman if they could get by with it. I think even if that is close, if those statistics are even one out of six or whatever, you know, it kind of lends itself to the concept that if the only thing stopping us from being lawless is the law, we're living in a pretty dangerous society. I think when we've moved away from God and moral issues you know, a power that the supreme God that would judge us for what we do, I think you're going to see a lawless attitude. And then on the other flip side of that, or not the flip side, but, you know, we've been pumping pornography through Hollywood for years. You know, I'm 56, and when I grew up, the things that people used to sneak to go to adult theaters, there was an adult theater back in the day on Main Street in Bismarck, and people would kind of look both ways on the street and then duck into that theater. Well, those movies now that they played in the theater come across on television on HBO and Showtime, and we've changed the dynamic of what pornography is. And I think, you know, when you stop to think about it, we're pumping pornography into adolescent children. Now, I chose not to have a television in my home. And when my kids were raised, best decision I ever made. But I think people that don't look at this don't realize how much sex we're pumping into children. And we call it entertainment, you know, PG-13, whatever. And it's nudity, it's sex. And it's getting boys thinking about things that, you know, naturally they'll think about. But I don't know if this, you know, I know that you've been questioning whether the survey is accurate or not. I just know I do prison ministry here in Dickinson, and I know that we've got a lot of people locked up for sex crimes and so on. We're going to see, there's no end in sight to this stuff. I mean, because we are living in a society that's promoting it to the point where it's crazy. I mean, it's absolutely insane.
Well, I would certainly agree with you, Bob, that the bar has been lowered to a point where it is really, you know, bad. And what would pass today versus, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago is unbelievable. But I don't think we've gotten to the point where we're lawless, and but for the law, 1 in 3. But I just.
Well, doesn't that survey even kind of suggest that? I mean, like, for instance, if you were living in a moral society where, you know, for instance, I don't break the speed limits not because there's a law against it. It's just that I'm worried about killing a kid in town. Now, on the highway, interstate, I might go 10 miles an hour over. But when I'm driving in the city, they could take all the speed limit down signs down as far as I'm concerned, because I have a law inside myself as far as that issue that I wouldn't want to run over some kid. And this is exactly the point I'm making. When there's a law inside of you given by something that you were raised with, a cultural expectation, but when we start to ignore God, the only thing that will keep us, that's why our founding fathers, I really think, set up this form of government for a moral people, because if it's not a moral people, you can't give people that much freedom. You know, there's going to be too much abuse. And so, you know, I don't, you know, I'll be interested. I'll be listening, certainly listening when you interview this person. I don't really know exactly if it's skewed or not, but I do know that we are playing with dynamite, and we've molded the minds of many young men into just perversion, you know, and of course it's the rise of homosexuality, the rise of all kinds of sexual perversion in our society. And like I said, I'm on the front line with it. I deal with sex offenders in the jails.
Sure. Bob, I appreciate your call very much. Thanks. I want to get one more in quickly. Gordy Fargo, what's on your mind?
Oh, yes. Couple of quick points. Just a question to ask the guests. If that survey is correct and 1 out of 3 men on a college campus would rape a woman if they could get away with it, isn't that one of the best arguments you could make for concealed carry laws?
Good point.
Okay. Well, we'll get that one in for sure. Appreciate it very much, Gordy. I'm out of time, so I have time for your second question. Our guest when we come back on this topic. Stay tuned.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Louis L'Amour once said, quote, "We who pass do not own this land, but we will use it. We will hold it briefly in trust for those yet to come. We must not reap without seeding. We must not take from the earth without replacing," unquote. The Northwest Landowners Association understands the importance of industry in North Dakota. Still, we want the land protected and the owners respected. Go to nwlandowners.com. Northwest Landowners was established to maintain a balance in resource development and property rights of individuals. We want to be the conduit between private property owners and North Dakota industry in both directions. The association is the united voice of landowners finding solutions to problems. We want to ensure that our kids and grandkids have the same opportunity to make a living off the land that we've had. Go to nwlandowners.com for more information. That's nwlandowners.com. NWLandowners.com.
Are you always 5 minutes late? Maybe you're only late when you don't want to be somewhere. Then you realize you're always 5 minutes late. For work, you set 3 alarms, drag your feet in the shower, drink your coffee slowly until you're rushing out the door. 5 minutes late. It's not that you hate your job. Hate is such a strong word. You're just not that excited about it. But most people don't love what they do, right? Listen, if you're local to the Twin Cities, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable, and a whiz on the phone, you might want to join one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, GCN. Because right now, we are hiring, and we offer benefits. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, where you'll want to be 5 minutes early every day.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Top of the hour. North Dakota gets a lot of headlines for a lot of reasons. And generally, we celebrate that, right? Top of the best places to live study or most friendly people or, lowest unemployment, highest growth in our economy and whatnot. But some studies that have been done by our guest are getting headlines that make you cringe. Here's some examples. Study, 1 in 3 men would rape if they wouldn't get caught or face consequences. Says Cosmopolitan magazine. Study finds that 1/3 of college men would rape if they could get away with it. 1 in 3 male university students would sexually assault a woman if they could get away with it. Another one. You get the idea. It's everywhere. It is the work of Dr. Sarah Edwards, University of North Dakota professor, who joins us now to talk about it. Dr. Edwards, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So give me the history behind this this study. What motivated this?
First of all, it's important to know that this was a preliminary study. It's what we call a pilot study that used a small sample. Now, what was the purpose of this study is we as researchers in the sexual assault field have known for a very long time that it matters a lot in how we phrase our questions, particularly if we ask people whether they have been raped or whether they have raped someone or in any other context use the label rape, a lot fewer people will respond yes to that question as opposed to when we give them the description of rape, which is forcing a woman to a sexual intercourse against her will. So in this study, my hope was to figure out a little bit more what separates the men who will say bluntly in a study, yes, I might consider raping someone, or yes, I've raped someone, from those who say, I might force a woman to have sexual intercourse with me against her will, but would say no to the question when you ask them, do you have any intentions to rape a woman?
So tell us what the questions were exactly. What did you ask?
So the questions that we asked was looking at if there were no consequences of you ever being punished, please rate the likelihood that you might force a woman to have intercourse against her will. That was one question. Another one was if there were no consequences at all, please rate the likelihood that you would rape a woman. And in addition to that, we also give the students a lot of measures related to hypermasculinity, which is a construct that's sort of, you can think of it as macho personality, like really thinking men are supposed to be aggressive and domineering and not show emotions, not be weak, be strong, be the ones that make decisions. We also give them measures of hostility towards women that looks at how do men feel towards women? Do they feel like women are out to get them, or do they feel they are angry with women, hostile, and so on?
Who did you ask these questions of?
We asked a group of college students, college men, at an Upper Midwestern University.
At where?
At a university, public university in the Midwest.
A public university in the Midwest. Okay, so it was from one particular campus.
Yes, that's right.
All right, and is there a reason you're not saying what, where?
Yeah, there is, because there has been a lot of headlines that were, you know, thinking about, oh, this was at the University of North Dakota or wherever else, and I think it really misses the point. I think people are quick to try and figure out and say, hey, this happens here, then I don't have to worry about it because I don't live in this area or whatnot. And I think that really misses the point of the study. And so after we clarified that it was not at the University of North Dakota, we decided we also don't want to out whatever other university it was where the data was collected.
Okay, and the data consisted of how many interviews?
There were surveys, and we had over 80 men initially. A couple of them didn't complete all the surveys, so there were 73 left, which is a small sample, and hence this is a preliminary study.
Yeah, a fellow by the name of Mark Perry at the American Enterprise Institute wrote a piece about your study saying no polling organization would ever be taken seriously if its sample size was 73, and neither should this study on college rape. What do you say to that?
You know, I think... I don't know that fellow particularly. You know, I think the study was published in a peer-reviewed journal, so obviously my fellow researchers thought that it was worthy of being published. I also think, you know, there are limitations with the study, the small sample size being one that I alluded to in the paper particularly. And on the other hand, in terms of, you know, statistics and the methods we use to analyze these, the number of people were adequate for the analysis that we did, which was we wanted to look at how do men in these groups that report rape versus those that say, am I force a woman but not rape her, differ in terms of their personality constructs. And so for that analysis that we did, it was a sufficient sample size.
And by the way, what was the difference between the two? So the headlines have all said 1 in 3 men would rape if they thought they'd get by with it. Was that number different than the forced question?
It was. And that headline is really misleading because it misses the point of the study. So what we actually found was that the men who do say on the survey that they might rape a woman, they seem to be much higher in hostility towards women. So they feel like women are out to get them. They're suspicious of women and their motives. They seem to harbor a lot of anger and resentment towards women in general. Versus those men that said, yes, they might force a woman to have sex against her will, but denied that they would ever rape a woman, those men really didn't show that level of hostility at all. In fact, they seem to be much more benevolent towards women, and we thought that was benevolent sexism, which is you still have sort of the stereotypical thoughts about women that, you know, maybe women are weaker, men are supposed to be more aggressive, etc., but it's not in a way that you want to hurt women. And they also were much higher in what we call hypermasculinity, so that is endorsing the typical macho stereotypes of how a man should be. So strong, forthcoming men are supposed to be the ones that conquer women and initiate sex, and et cetera. So it was a very different sort of mindset we found in these different groups.
Okay, so what should have the headline been?
I think a really good headline would have been that, many college men who say they might force a woman to have sex against her will do not recognize their actions as rape.
All right, but is it that high a number? When I saw this headline, I said, there's no way. There's no way that 1 in 3, men would rape someone if they could get by with it. In other words, the law is the only thing that's preventing me from going lawless. Did it surprise you? Did it confirm your views?
It didn't surprise me too much. I mean, depending on how questions are worded in surveys, and again, those aren't my surveys, those are surveys from other researchers as well, you will get, you know, a fairly high percentage of men that say that they have maybe forced a woman or have considered to force a woman or have attempted to. So I think the number that the news have picked up on is, in my sample, 31% of men said that they might force a woman to have sex against her will if they weren't caught. And, I mean, I guess we can all think about that whatever we want. Clearly, it's a difference if you answer hypothetically, would you do something if you wouldn't get caught versus not? But, I mean, sexual assault is a big problem, and we have consistently found that there is about 8, 9, 10, or 11% of people that will say in surveys that they have raped before. So, I mean, that number is higher, clearly one-third, but, again, it's the hypothetical versus the actual.
All right, a couple of questions from our audience for you. Let's roll the one that came in before the conversation started, Chris, if you would. For our guest, we got that?
Just a quick question on your survey, lady. What did she use as the definition of rape? There are those who consider all sex to be rape, so a definition of what rape is would be pertinent to her study. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great question. We actually did not define rape for the participants at all. We just left the study as the question stand as if there wouldn't be any consequences, if you wouldn't be caught, how likely is it that you would rape a woman? So whatever the participant thought was rape, that was what they were responding to.
All right. Joe in Bismarck has a question, too. Go ahead, Joe. You're up, and what's on your mind?
Yeah, say, a gal called in earlier, and she said these kids got too much on their plate to learn civics. And I would think I agree with her in the same thing. If they got too much going on to learn how to treat a woman, they have to apply it in life, and then they figure it out. Yeah, right. That's my statement. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Edwards, anything? Go ahead.
You know, I think, you know, a good point that the caller is making is that we really, as a society, need to watch the messages that we send to young men, because I think a thing that my study demonstrated is that many men do consider maybe forcing a woman to have sex to be maybe something that's normal and that's okay. And in their mind, they don't identify that as rape. And I think that might be related to the messages that we do send to our young men, that maybe they should be very domineering and aggressive and always be in charge and take decisions. And so then if you take that into the bedroom, that translates into, well, if I believe that women are supposed to say no because they're supposed to act that way and men should be decisive and make decisions, then I think in my mind it's not a big jump to think that then young men would think, well, it's my job to make the decision that we're going to have sex now and the woman is supposed to say no anyways to look better. And then we have a scenario where, you know, the woman gets sexually assaulted.
By the way, your study started with a statistic that federal data estimates that about 1 in 5 women become the victim of sexual assault while in college. And the researcher from American Enterprise Institute I mentioned earlier said that study has been thoroughly discredited. Went on to look at numbers at NDSU and UND and, you know, take a look at statistics and reports and say, actually, if you use NDSU numbers, it'd be 1 in 59, and saying it's just been thoroughly discredited. What do you say about that?
So one thing to keep in mind is to look at different surveys in context. Right? So when you say 1 in 59 NDSU students have been raped, or is that what you're saying?
Well, he was extrapolating the reports of at NDSU specifically, of the crimes there and compared to the student population. He said overall in the data provided in the report by the Department of Justice suggested numbers about 1 in 53, but vastly different
right.
than the 1 in 5 you're citing. We'll let you answer when we come back after break. Hold tight if you would. More coming up on What's On Your Mind.
Listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Welcome to Soybean Minute. Now, here's Diana Bedelsbacher.
The North Dakota Soybean Council invites soybean farmers to the annual Northern Soybean Expo, Tuesday, February 17th at the Fargo Holiday Inn. Join us for a hot breakfast buffet at 8 a.m., followed by an exciting lineup of speakers. Internationally renowned economist Todd Buchholz will kick off the day at 9:45, discussing strategies for competing effectively in a global economy. The sensible environmentalist and former founder of Greenpeace International, Dr. Patrick Moore, will paint an innovative, hopeful, peaceful future where civilization and the environment will survive and thrive. And finally, North Dakota native Jerry Gulkey of the Gulkey Group will wrap up the afternoon with a dynamic market outlook. Be sure to join us on February 17th for the 2015 Northern Soybean Expo at the Fargo Holiday Inn. For more information, log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
North Dakota and Minnesota's leading steel building contractor is Evercorp Building Systems. Jesse Everett, the owner, is on the phone with us. Jesse, I need a shop, an office, and a warehouse all in one. Can you take care of me?
Absolutely.
How long does the design process take?
3 weeks and you've got your blueprints.
How long is delivery going to take?
We guarantee delivery in 4 weeks.
And when am I moving in?
We're going to have that building built in 90 days.
Tell me about the quality. What goes into an Evercorp building?
All North American-made steel. We tend to put big foundations under them that are engineered by local engineers that understand the conditions, and we tend to overdo it.
How do you price this so I get the best bang for my buck, Jesse?
We use 39 plants across the U.S. That's factory direct, which means you get the best price.
Jesse, you sold me. How do I reach you to talk about my next building project?
Just call me, 612-282-9922.
Or online at evercorpbuildingsystems.com. Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Get updates on your favorite GCN shows and hosts. Go to GCNlive.com and click on the banner in the upper left corner. Just for signing up, you're automatically entered for monthly giveaways. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
On Your Mind continues, brought to you in part today by My Pillow. Make this the day you say, I'm not going to take it anymore. I just got to get a better night's sleep. I don't like the tossing and turning. I need a pillow that stays cool. I want one that adjusts to how I sleep, on my back, on my side, whatever it is. MyPillow.com is waiting for you, folks. And a great deal, 50% off, 2-for-1 savings on the original classic pillow now when you use the promo code Scott at MyPillow.com. Host of other savings with half off, too. Check it out, MyPillow.com, promo code Scott, or call them at 800-506-9028. Comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-night money-back guarantee. All right, continuing our conversation in our final segment with the researcher from the University of North Dakota that has been the subject of a lot of headlines and questions on a study claiming that one in three men would rape if they could get by with it, Dr. Sarah Edwards. So, Dr. Edwards, before the break, I want you to just answer this question about this point that most federal data from the Department of Justice on campus sexual result released in December suggests that the number is about 1 in 53 college women that are victims of sexual assault while in college. Your study used 1 in 5, which, according to, again, the American Enterprise Institute, has been discredited.
Right. So, you know,
actually, a point of our study was, why do people respond differently depending on how questions are worded? And I think the discrepancy in numbers that you see is, you know, is that's the reason for that. So, for example, the December 2014 Department of Justice stats that came out, they are based on the National Victimization Survey, National Crime Victimization Survey. That survey means that they call people on the phone or interview them in person. They tell them this is a survey about crime, and then they ask them about their experiences with all kinds of crimes, including rape and sexual assault. So, you know, compare that to our study and some other studies that are done maybe less so to collect crime statistics and rather to get away from the notion of crime and simply ask people about their experiences. Our study is anonymous.
Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I mean, I know you got a small sample here, and you've explained the reasons for that. So it's not scientific. It's a preliminary study or whatever you call it. But if the sample size was 73,000, do you think you'd get the same result?
I think I would get the same result within maybe a margin of 10% or so.
You believe this is how college men think. Wow. Della and Minot, question for our guest. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. You know, the gentleman that called from Dickinson who works with sexual offenders brought up excellent points. Basically, our demographics have changed a great deal, and our youngsters are not having the values that those even 10 or 15 years older have had. The question I would ask your guest is, what specifically were the ages of your subjects? You know, if you're in college, you can be 17 to 50, for heaven's sakes. What were the ages specifically of your test subjects?
Yeah, so most of the students were between 18 and 22 years old. I think there were a couple that were a little older, and I don't have the exact breakdown in my head right now, but the vast majority were between 18 and 22, 23. All right, thank you.
Della, thank you. Eric and Fargo for the guest. Go ahead.
I had a question on, you gave a couple of examples of the actual questions in the study. I'm wondering what exactly were the options for the answers, and then I have a follow-up.
That's a really good question, yeah. So the question was worded, so what if there were no consequences for you? How likely would you be that you might rape a woman? And then another question was, how likely would you be that you might force a woman to have sexual intercourse against her will? And then students were able to respond on a scale from 0, meaning no likelihood, no intentions whatsoever, to 100, meaning they are absolutely certain that they're going to do that again in the future.
Did you say 0 to 100?
Correct.
Oh, wow. And then so what... What answer got you in the category of yes, I would force myself on someone?
So I debated that a lot with my, anything above 10, and I debated that kind of long with my colleagues for a great deal, and we didn't want to make it anything less than 10 because, some people say, well, I never know, you know, what happens in life. I might do something like if I'm at a war zone or whatever. So to guard against that hypothetical, we only included people that gave higher than a 10.
Interesting. Okay, thanks.
Appreciate the call. Do we have time for one more off-air call? Chris, go ahead and roll that quickly, if you would.
The show. Hi, Scott. Say, I am willing to bet you that if I did a survey today of so many women, I could probably find one out of three women who would say that they wanted to be raped. Let's turn this around. This just makes me furious. It was just something that went through my head. I wonder what the reaction would be if something like this came out that one in three women would like to be raped. Thanks, Scott. Love the show.
Thank you for that question.
That is sometimes something that I hear from people, that women actually want to be raped. I think it's important to distinguish between having a fantasy, that someone might be forceful in a consensual interaction versus actually wanting to be raped. There's very little evidence that any woman actually wants to be raped. Now, people might have the fantasy that they want to play out with their partner in terms of wanting to experience this giving up their control, but all in all, overwhelmingly, research demonstrates women do not want to be raped. They don't ask
to be raped.
Well, we are out of time. Didn't get to everybody, but we appreciate you taking the time to answer some of the questions that did come in from our audience. They were interested and taken back by this. Sarah Edwards, thank you for the time.
Thank you for your interest.
Okay, my friends, we are out of time. So guess what? We'll do it all over again beginning Monday. God bless you one and all. Thank you for listening to What's on Your Mind. See you Monday. Have a great weekend.
The other words, free and Mercedes-Benz don't often go together. But we've teamed up with my friends at Valley Imports for one heck of a deal.
Hi, everybody. I'm Scott Hinnon. I've had the honor and pleasure of driving a Mercedes-Benz lately, doing a little test driving for some of our fine listeners, especially that GL class. Wow, is that an SUV? And when you're in the Bakken, you want a safe vehicle. That's a safe vehicle. So is the ML, the C-Class, the E-Class. No matter what you're looking for, go to valleyimports.com. Don't find what you're looking for. They'll get it for you. But here's the free part. You mention my name. You buy a Mercedes-Benz from Valley Imports. They're going to give you 2 years of free maintenance. Plus, you get the 24/7 service. If it breaks down, they're coming to you. You can't beat a deal like that. They'll find what you're looking for. You'll get the best price. And you know what? You'll be safe. What's that worth? ValleyImports.com or call 888-928-7431 or online at ValleyImports.com. Tell them Scott sent you.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.